together in 2019. Yeah. Who's excited that it's 2019 and not 2018? Guys, it's great to be together tonight. We're just getting started. Wasn't that a powerful time of worship, though?
Yes.
Can we give it up for Nick Desbalk and Kyrie making the order of service tonight? Guys, it's great to be together. And you know, you might be asking yourself, Mark, where's the guitar at, bro? Or you look a little bare up there. I'm not here to introduce a new song lyric before we sing another song, but I am here to tell you guys something very important tonight. I have a very important message for you guys tonight.
All right.
I'm here to tell you a message that can change the world. I have a message to share with you tonight that can change the heart of any human being. I have a message to preach tonight that has freed me from addictions in my life. I have a message to declare tonight that offers the kind of love that you've been looking for your whole life. I didn't come up with this message, but God Himself came up with this message before He breathed out the universe itself. It's His story. Jesus Himself wrote this story. So what is this message I'm talking about? Sounds pretty good, right? This message that we're talking about tonight is the message of God's grace, the gospel. Amen. Tonight we're going to be diving into the grace of God together. You know, in Acts 20:24, Paul says, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Amen?
Yeah.
Guys, Paul here is saying that his life won't mean anything unless he can preach the message of grace. He's like, really, my life's not going to make an impact unless I can get this message out. And tonight we're going to focus on that message. We're really trying to answer one question tonight. If I could kind of boil it down. The question that we're trying to answer tonight is, why do Christians do what they do? Right. Why do we do what we do? Why? You know, I think if I were to ask any disciple in here tonight what actions a Christian should be doing or a disciple should be doing, I think every one of you would get it 100% right. I think you would tell me, all right, disciples should make disciples, they should be sharing their faith, they should have good quiet times, they should love the needy, have great relationships, go to meetings with the body. I think you guys would probably get 100% on that question right there. What do disciples do? But if I asked you why you should do those things, I think the answers would vary more and not be as strong as why. But why do you do that? I think some of us here tonight are probably frustrated because we're not personally growing spiritually in the ways we want to. Or at least not growing the ways God wants to see you grow. And maybe you've been focusing on the what's for a long time, meaning reading your Bible, how to do that better, how to share your faith better, or the do's of discipleship. But tonight we're going to ask the question, why even do those things? Why? Why should I give up my whole life, everything, for this man, Jesus? Because that's a big sacrifice, is it not?
Right.
And any major sacrifice has got to be backed with strong motivation, a strong why. And look, I just want to ask you tonight to give your whole heart, to listen to this message, to engage with it. I just ask you for 35 minutes of your time. And, you know, whether this is your first time here tonight with the campus ministry here, first time checking out All Near Devo, or maybe you've been a Christian for a year or months or even a day, we all need to engage tonight with this message. Amen? We all need this message because, again, it's coming straight from God. Amen? God has a message for us tonight. This message is all that matters. And it needs It needs to be not only understood, but what we're going to talk about later is the message of God's grace. It also needs to be paid forward. It needs to be lived out. But I want to tell you guys a story. There was a young college student on a Friday night who decided to go to a party and get drunk. And he decided, you know, I'm just going to let loose this Friday. I'm going to go get drunk. I'm going to go get high. And he decided to get back into his car and leave the party and drive and get some food. This young student was just doing what he wanted to do, living the life that he wanted to, not thinking about what he was doing, but just doing, living free, young and free and wild. And as he was driving intoxicated, he approached a four-way intersection with a red light. It was a really busy part of downtown area with lots of people walking around. And this college student that was driving didn't see the red light and continued to accelerate towards the intersection. As he approached where he should have stopped, the walk sign to cross the street lit up on the other side. Obeying the walking sign, a young boy started to cross the street, not seeing the fast car coming towards him. The drunk college student hit the boy, and the boy died on impact. It was a terrifying, terrifying sight to see. You see, the boy was so excited to cross the street because his father was on the other side. The father helplessly watched in terror as his son died. The college student got out of his car with immense guilt and shame and could barely utter a word out to the father with his son. The student be put on trial, later sentenced to prison and do time. And weeks later, the father would come to this college student's house, the father of the young boy that died. And as the father came to the door, he immediately embraces the college student and hugs him. And he starts crying as he's hugging him, and the student's just in shock. And the father proceeds to say, "I forgive you. I know you don't deserve this, but I forgive you. Not only that, but I'm offering to give you everything that was my son's. His prized possessions, his money, his college savings, everything that was his, and all the love I showed him, I want to show you. And not only that, I want to adopt you," he says to the young man. He says, "I know you've been living here at this orphanage for some time, but I want to take you in, and I want to give you a family that you don't have. I don't want you to be alone." He said to him, "I love you, and although you and your sinful self killed my boy, I want you to be my son. Will you be my son?" How would you respond to the father's offer? What would you be feeling? I think it's really a no-brainer. It's yes, yes, I'll be your daughter, I'll be your son. But does that kind of love that the father's offering, does that kind of love even make sense, guys? It's this crazy love that leaves you speechless, does it not? Let me ask you, if you're the college student that is now the adopted son with this father, this amazing father, if someone asks you, "Hey, why do you love your father so much? Why do you seek to please him and obey your dad?" What would you say? You'd probably say, let me tell you what you wouldn't say, most likely. You wouldn't say, "Well, I love my dad because my friend told me to love him. He says it was a good thing to do." Or, "Well, I love my dad because if I don't, he'll ground me." I don't think you'd say that. Or, "Well, I try to please him because I know it'll make me look better to others. It'll make me look like a good son." Now, if you were this student and someone asked you, "Why do you love your father and obey him?" you would say, "How could I not love him after what he's done for me?"
Right.
How could I not?
Yeah.
You'd probably go on to tell the person the story of what your dad has done for you. You'd be like, "Oh, hold up, you got 5 to 10 minutes. Let me tell you why I obey my father." And you would say, "Man, I want to be the best son, the best daughter I can possibly be because of what he's done for me, period." You see, this story here that I just shared is really the story of what God is offering you. It's the story of God our Father. This is a message of grace, is it not? But really, what God is offering us is thousands times better than that story right there. What God is offering us is something eternal, with eternal value. Something so much greater. But listen, you are that college student. You are the one who killed the son. Your sin and selfishness killed God's son. And yet God decided way before Jesus came, before creation itself, that he was going to adopt you back and offer that to you. That's amazing. Not because of anything you've done, but purely because he loves you? What? That's crazy. And it demands a response. So now we're getting closer to the why here. To answering that question, why do we do what we do? And as we read our main passage of Scripture tonight, we're going to see more and more how loved we are by God. You guys want to see that more and more tonight? How loved you are by God. How cherished we are by God. Because when we see his love, it will lead us to say, I'll do anything for my Father. I'll do anything for Jesus. And it will lead us to grow to be more like him. Amen, guys?
Yeah.
So we'll return to that story in a little bit, but turn over your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1.
All right.
2 Peter chapter 1. Give me a yo, I'm there when you get there. When you get there to
yo, I'm there.
And you guys are quick. So these next couple All New York Devos, we're going to be studying out a really inspiring passage of Scripture that comes out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Tonight we're just going to focus on the beginning part of this passage together. And so we're going to read this here, 2 Peter 1, we'll pick up in verse 1. Let's read this together. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God, of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, has received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, his divine power has given us or granted us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, verse 9. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters of the New York Campus Ministry, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, this is an amazing passage of Scripture. Amazing passage of Scripture. We're going to start breaking this down tonight. In the next New York Devos, we're going to continue to really break this down together. Because we got to get this, guys. We got to get this passage. I want you to notice a couple key things about this Scripture first. You guys with me? In verse 4, it says, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. But then notice right after that in verse 5, it says, for this reason, make every effort. Right? So because God is leading you to escape from this corrupt world and allowing you to participate in the divine nature, he's saying, that's why you should make every effort to add to your faith. Because God has allowed you to do that. because of God's grace towards you, because of His love. Tonight we're going to talk about that right there, for this reason. We're going to talk about the reason why we should all be growing in our faith. We should all be striving to grow in our faith and go and help others grow in their faith. So again, that question is, man, why do what we do as Christians? And really, in short, the answer to that question is because of God's grace, because of what He's done for us. But sometimes, you ever have someone say that to you, and you're like, yeah, but what is that? I know that should be the motivation, but can you help me understand why that's such a powerful thing? Sometimes words don't hold the weight that we want them to hold for us. Yeah. We know it's like, that's the right answer, but bro, I just don't get that. Yeah. I'm still addicted to the sin. I'm still not sharing my faith. There's got to be something going on. So this passage that Peter wrote here does a great job of helping break down exactly what God's grace is. Do you guys want to try to break this down a little more?
Yeah.
Let's start in verse 3 together, all right? It says, verse 3, we read this before, it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Okay, so let's stop there for now. It says, so basically everything we need to live a life pleasing to God, a healthy spiritual life, God has provided us with. He's given it to us, not because you earned it, not because that you kind of mustered up some kind of good moral strength or earned your way that now you can be worthy of these precious promises. He says, no, I'm just going to give it to them. I'm going to leave it up to them if they want to participate in this. He wants you to experience a godly life free from sin. And He's saying, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to equip you so you can live that life.
Okay.
But you've got to decide if you want that. You know, the Message version, I love this. It says in verse 3 and 4 here, it says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. The best invitation we've ever received. That's what Peter's trying to say here. He's saying, God's inviting you to a new way of life. It's better. It's amazing. And it's a gift.
Yeah.
He's gifted you with everything you need to live this life. But not only that, the second part of verse 3 says that He's called you. You got a phone call from God. How do you like that? He's handpicked you. And why did He do that? What was God's motivation to call you to a holy life? It says, by His own glory and goodness.
Wow.
You see, it's not about who you are or what you've done or what you're doing now. It's about who He is. It's about who God is, that He's so good. It was out of His own internal goodness, His own motive, God being a good Father, that He wants to call you out of this life of sin. It's a gift. Guys, this is grace. This is powerful. This is motivating. This is life worth living. Is it not? That makes you want to get up in the morning and do something when you know you're that loved by somebody.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Timothy 1:9, says, He has saved us and called us to a holy life because of all... Not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. You seeing a little similarity here?
Yeah.
This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That God said, I know you're going to sin. I know you're going to mess it up, but I love you. I got it all planned out, but you got to decide. You got to let me into your life.
Wow.
God is amazing. He's so loving. He's so intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to get that about His character. Let's move on later here to verse 4. It says, through these He has given us very great and precious promises so that you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Escape. You notice that word there? That's a strong word. Escape. You know, there's this one time we were studying the Bible with this guy, Willie P. I was a freshman, and Matt and I were studying with him, and he was like, yo, you want to go get some falafel? And we were like, yeah, let's do it. Well, I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I went with him. This dude's got a nice BMW. And I get in the car, and we're going on a busy highway in New Jersey. And as he's driving, I kid you not, he puts his hands off the wheel, takes his phone out. He's sitting down, starts driving with his knees. And I'm there in the passenger seat like, I'm gonna die. I was so scared. I didn't die. But I'm here right now. But a couple weeks later, he totaled his car. He totaled his car. And he was fine. But let me tell you something. When you're in a car going 80 miles an hour and someone starts driving with their knees, you want to escape. You're like, how can I get out of this car? I can't jump out. I can just talk to him. I can reason with him. I'm like, do you think that's a good idea, man? He's like, dude, we're good, bro. I'm like, we're not. We're not really good. But man, I wanted to escape. It's like, get me out of here. I'm going to die. But guys, we got to notice the wording that Peter's using here. When someone uses the word escape, they're talking about you're escaping from a place that you can't be, a destructive place. No one says, I'm trying to escape from the Bahamas today, bro. It's bad here. No. You're trying to escape from a place that is gonna hurt you. The corrupt world we live in. You guys, I have a fear. Can I tell you my fear? It actually really weighs on my heart about this group right here. And my fear is that some of you don't even see the need to escape. You don't even see that you're in need of rescuing. And in need of escaping the corrupt world around you. It blows my mind. In a room this size, some of you guys who are disciples in here, you're still trying to fit in a little bit of the world to your life. You're trying to blend in. You got one foot in, you got one foot out, you're going back and forth, you're playing that discipleship hokey pokey. You know, right foot in, right foot out, right foot in, shake it about, do the hokey pokey, turn yourself around. That's not what it's all about. Not what it's all about. But in all seriousness, guys, you're dabbling with sin. You're dabbling with fire, and it needs to stop.
Come on.
You're playing with poison, and you think it's cool. That's scary. Let me share with you guys some stats about our corrupt world, just to bring some reality here. Every single year, there is 20 million new STD cases in America. 15 to 24 year olds account for half. That's our generation. 18% of all women in the U.S. have said that they've been raped at some point in their lives. 30% of all internet traffic are on pornography adult websites. In 2017, there was an estimated 1,300,000 suicide attempts. 47,173 Americans took their own lives. And one out of every three children live at home without a father in the U.S. Guys, this is what God is trying to rescue you from. Allowing you to escape from. Guys, our world is corrupt. This city is corrupt. It needs Jesus, guys. It doesn't need you to blend in. That's hurting it. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution. And say, no, that's killing the world. I'm going to do something different. And you might think I'm crazy, but at least I'm living. And I'm alive. And I'm not being corrupted. This world is corrupt because of sin. Evil desire that gives birth to sin. Guys, we have a sin issue. We always have. And the only solution is the grace of God. The only solution is the grace of God to escape that. Corruption can only happen where there is sin. But God in his mercy came to us in Jesus. He stooped down and said, I want to save you from that. I want you to be able to escape this world of corruption and live an amazing life, free of sin. Why would you turn down that offer? Why would you go towards this corruption? Yet some of you are doing that. And it blows my mind. And God, it just breaks his heart, guys. It just breaks his heart. You know, when Peter preaches the good news for the first time in Acts 2, we know this scripture. He says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And on top of that, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It says, "This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Guys, you crucified Jesus. You killed the innocent son. You're worthy of eternal punishment. You're the drunk driver that hit the son.
Right.
While the father was watching it all go down. God watched it all go down that day.
Yeah.
And he let it happen to give you a choice. He said, "I'm going to watch my son go through horror on a maybe. That maybe they'll follow me. Maybe they'll decide to be my disciple." For the disciples in this room, you got to remember the first time you read this.
Right.
The first time you read this passage when you were studying the Bible and you first saw how much of a sinner you were. You guys remember that moment?
Yeah.
When you were confronted with who you were and that your sin cost the blood of a God. And for most of us, we couldn't sleep at night knowing that. I know I couldn't. I was a 14-year-old, but there's another reason why I couldn't sleep at night after hearing the cross. It's because I couldn't wrap my head around the offer. The offer that God was being that gracious to me after the sinful life that I was living.
Yeah.
That even though my sin killed the Son, Jesus, that he was offering to forgive me of all my sin from the past sins, present, and the future. And not only that, but to give me his Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, to adopt me as his own, to make me righteous, to give me a righteous track record of Jesus, like I've never sinned, to be clean, to be joined with his family, and to live for all eternity in the new heaven and new earth? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is what people need. We got it, guys. We got the good news. We got to remember what he's offering us, guys. This is grace. This is why we do what we do. Because he deserves it. He's worthy. He's better. He is who our souls long for. It's not the girl. It's not the guy. It's not the job. It's not the accolades. It's this kind of love.
Yeah.
But I got to ask you a question. Have you forgotten?
Wow.
Have you forgotten what he's done for you? You know, verse 9, later on in this passage, he says, "Whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind," not have them being these qualities of faith we read through, "forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin." Do you guys see that there? He says, here's why you're not growing, disciples scattered across this world. He's because you've forgotten what Jesus has done for you.
Wow, yeah.
You've forgotten that you've been cleansed. That's why you're not growing. I know that's why I don't grow, when I forget what he's done.
Yeah. Mm.
You've forgotten the "for this reason," right? You guys remember that? "For this reason." But here's the good news. The good news is that you can always return to the why.
Yeah.
It's right there in your Bible every day to just open it up and get reminded.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's right there at your access every day to get reminded. So you don't have to forget. So you can keep growing. Amen?
Amen?
Isn't that good news? It's not like you gotta go travel 100 miles every day to get this thing. It's you got it on your phone. You got it on your tablet, your Bible at your bedside. It's right there. But guys, we gotta go to it.
Uh-huh.
got to read about it.
Yeah.
You know, the story that I shared in the beginning, that young college student who killed the father's son, I bet what helped that young man to love his father was just remembering what his father did for him. Mm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
But also remembering the day, man, that the father came to his door offering to take him home? What? And call him his son? I bet you that son reminded himself of that day to continue to love his dad. Mm. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
And guys, we need to do the same. We need to remember what God has done, what the Father has done for us. I want to give you some practicals of how you can do that. Here's a couple practicals. One is just pray to God every morning and thank Him. Thank Him for forgiving you of your sin, for giving you the Holy Spirit, and for adding you to God's kingdom, His eternal kingdom. Every morning, first thing in prayer, just thank God. That'll help you start your day right. Another one is communion each Sunday. Having sacred communion with God. Really putting your phone away, not talking to someone during communion. God's given us that to be reminded. He says, do this in remembrance of me. He's put that in place for us. Another one is have a great scripture bank of grace scriptures that motivate you. Have scriptures that remind you that really hits your heart. I need that. And have great times with God. Just have awesome, quality times with God that can bring you back to that place in Acts 2. Does that make sense, guys?
Yeah.
That, no, you're not just reading your Bible for 10 minutes so you don't feel guilty. But you're taking time out of your day to get realigned, to get reconnected with God. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, I believe God wants to do so much more through this campus ministry. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
You guys believe He wants to do so much more? I believe that with all my heart, that He wants to change this city through us. I believe that. Guys, we have a job to do. But it's not going to happen. We're not going to change the city unless we get this. Unless we know why we do what we do. Unless we're motivated by the Father and His love, by His grace.
Yeah.
But when we each decide to fall more in love with God each day, reading our Bibles, getting to know His grace more, we will have good news on our hearts and good news to share.
Yeah.
People won't have to ask you, hey, bro, did you share your faith this week? You'd be like, bro, it's coming out of me everywhere I go. This is on my heart. You know, in the book of Acts, you never see someone say, hey, Paul, did you share this week, bro? Hey, are you going to be bold today, sis? They're like, I got good news. Let's go. Next town. Let's keep going. But guys, that's because they were grateful. Because they got it. They were overwhelmed, filled with awe, filled with wonder. Guys, we have good news. Amen?
Amen.
We're coming in for a landing here. You know, I hope you guys have noticed this arrow on the screen. At first, it was just there because I thought it looked cool. Does it look cool? All right. But then I realized this is kind of cool because this is where I was trying to go with my sermon is we need to pay the gift of grace forward.
Yeah.
It's not meant to stay with you. It's meant to be passed on.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
To get on our campuses and go and make disciples of Jesus, go and show them this love that God has for them that they have no idea about. They have no idea the kind of love that is waiting for them. But you have it. We have it. Amen?
Amen?
People are looking for this crazy love and we got it.
Wow.
You know, for the disciples, I pray that tonight was a great reminder of why we do what we do as Christians.
Yeah.
And that the why is the grace of God. It's because of what He's done for us. Not because of what we've done for Him, but because of His gracious call.
Yeah.
Calling you out of this corrupt world. My prayer is that we will all let the message of God's grace lead us to say no to sin, which it does, and to say yes to holiness. Amen?
Amen.
Say yes to God and to go and spread this good news. This room should be packed out.
Mm.
In a year, we shouldn't even be in here.
Mm. Come on.
That's God's vision. But do you want that? And are you going to take responsibility with your own relationship with God? So you can go pass on this good news. Guys, God has called us to follow Jesus, to be people who are always growing and increasing in the qualities of living a godly life.
Amen.
And becoming more like Jesus. being productive and effective in their discipleship. We should make every effort to add to our faith because His love compels us. Because we've been cleansed from our past sins. It's a gift. It's amazing. I just want to leave you with this scripture to close out. 1 John 4, verse 10 and 11. We'll close out here. It says, "This is love." All right, so if you're wondering, what is love? This is love, right here, all right? This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We love because He first loved us. Amen. To God be the glory. I love you guys. Let's stand up and sing one last song together. Amen.